Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NordVPN.com/FIFO brings you the fastest VPN in the world, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, and online threat protection that blocks you against malware, annoying pop-up ads, and so much more. And they have several tiers for you. That way you can get what you want. You can get 4 months free and a 30-day money-back guarantee with NordVPN.com/FIFO. Maybe you want to order UFC pay-per-views, but don't want to spend so much money. Maybe you miss AEW Plus or WWE Network or something like that. NordVPN.com/FIFO allows you to change your virtual location with just one click and gain access to those things. Get that geo-blocked content. Make sure you browse safely and securely. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes your browsing experience and just your life experience much more versatile. 4 months free and a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful here with a name you know. You've seen him a little bit of everywhere. You've seen him in AEW. You've seen him in Impact Wrestling. Championship Wrestling. Even saw him in WWE once upon a time. We got Peter Avalon. Peter, how you doing?
The pretty professional producer, Peter Avalon, PPA all day. Man, I'm happy to be here. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to have you here as well. So a little story I didn't mention off the air. There was, like, Kentucky still has an athletic commission, right? It's so weird.
Yeah.
But the guy that ran it used to wrestle, and he was like, he was kind of a hard ass to a lot of us. Like, he was like very, very by the book. He made headlines when he derailed Barstool's like Rough and Rowdy show out here one time. But we found out that his gimmick name was Peter Perfect. And he was really like effeminate, and he'd be like, "I have the perfect Peter," and all that stuff. And I tried to Google all of his stuff, but because you do so much stuff, you're the only Double P Peter, you're the only PP Peter that pops up on Google. You have completely wiped out his SEO.
Good, 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 good. When you look up PP on Google, you find ideally, right?
That's right. So good. I was like, damn, Peter Avalon completely overcame it. And I told him that, and he's like, good, I'm glad. He's like, I don't want any of that stuff out there. But here you are. Man, there's so much to talk about. I've never had the opportunity to interview you before, but I was telling you off the air, one of the first times I saw you was obviously the Norv Furnum stuff. And that's what made me look at EC3 and be like, this guy can do a lot, but look at Norv Furnum. He's an entertaining guy.
Thank you.
What did that mean to you at that point of your career? Because you had been in wrestling for a few years at that point.
I had. Man, it was also at like a down point in my personal life too. I was at like my smallest. I was like mentally unwell. I was in a bad relationship. So to have something like this, kind of be given to me, I was like, hey, awesome, cool. What was funny about it though, and just kind of tacked on into that to that mental anguish I was dealing with at the time was I found out why I was reached out, and it was that they wanted somebody to wrestle EC3 that didn't look like a wrestler. So everybody they had asked, apparently they looked like wrestlers in these producers' eyes. And when they sent them good old sick Pretty Pete, they said, "This is the one. This is the guy." And here I came.
And I mean, like, to be fair, like, years later when I saw you as Peter Avalon, I didn't know that it was the same guy at first. I think I looked at the cage match or something like that, and I was like, oh my God, that's the guy that I liked in TNA Wrestling. Eventually, they brought you back, and you had, like, a quick world title match. Like, how did you feel by that point? Were you, like, happy to do that, or were you like, man, I am ready to move past this thing?
Of course I was ready to move past Norm Furnham, because it just reminded me of when I was sick. They were intentionally like, I can look stupid on my own, you know, but they were trying their damnedest to, like, make me look stupid on how they sigh. And it was just like, let's put this kid in a singlet. And then when I came back, I was a little bigger. So I filled the singlet out, and the segment was real short. I got, like, squashed right away. Impact, actually, we had a show with Championship Wrestling. They used all our production. We ran at the Florentine Gardens when they did a tour of Los Angeles. So it was appropriate for them to, you know, pack their wrestlers and the apron and come use all of United Wrestling stuff. So they put me versus Jordan Clearwater on the show. So I think it was on Impact. It might have been on their online, whatever. But it's available there. I also had a tag match in my stripper gimmick for Impact as well. You know, so they were given a couple of the United Wrestling guys matches because, of course, they had to.
I'm glad you brought up United Wrestling and, like, you know, birth from Championship Wrestling and a lot of that.
That's right.
I don't think a lot of people know you did a bunch of production work there as well. Like, how did you get into that? And, like, what is the process? I heard, like, hundreds of episodes you did production on.
I've produced over 250 episodes of television with just Championship Wrestling from Arizona alone. It's a regional broadcast to Arizona, Phoenix, Tucson, and Yuma were the major markets it was in. At the time, Phoenix is the 10th largest DMA in the United States. So it had a lot of people watching, you know, our program. And then it was available all over the world online. I think it was on Fight TV as well. And I'm just going to say, I think, like, me and the guys at the time, because we were such a good team, we saved United Wrestling, especially United Wrestling, the Championship Wrestling from Arizona broadcast. It was around for 3 years. I ran it for 2 years. The first year started off okay in Tucson. And by the end of that year, the person that was running the show didn't want to run the show anymore. The casino didn't want to have the relationship with us anymore. And the show was on the verge of being canceled. We were able to finance it, get it financed, and we moved it to Phoenix, to the Nile Theater in Mesa, Arizona, which is next door to Phoenix. The Nile's an awesome theater. If anyone's in town over there and wants to see a show, punk rock show or something, they're awesome. They got an upstairs and a downstairs, a very gracious building. But we formed a good relationship with them, and we saved the damn show. We ran it for another 2 years, where our first show was at this shit nightclub called the Empire Room. And we were with this shit promoter. I don't remember what the hell his name was. Who cares? And he ran us for a bunch of money. And he said he was going to promote Alberto Del Rio. At the time, it was okay to promote Alberto Del Rio on this show. And we never booked Alberto. The guy took all our money, and he went and ran a show across town.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, he ran a lucha show across town with our money. And that show was a tournament to crown our first champion. We drew a whopping, ready for this? Eight people.
Eight.
In that crowd. Eight whole people. A lot of empty chairs.
So we, you had all outdrew the audience, probably.
Yeah. The wrestler, we had more wrestlers in the tournament. We had eight wrestlers in the tournament. it was me, Royce Isaacs. You know, we had good
Love
dudes.
Royce.
We had good dudes in this tournament. To crown our first champion, who ended up being Gino Rivera. And then we just built this show. We finally formed a relationship with the Nile Room. And by the time we were up and running at the Nile, we were selling these shows out. We packed the house. We're turning people away. We were booking guys from the NWA, like Tim Storm, Nick Aldis. We booked everyone's favorite, MJF, way before Tony did. Like, so I know Tony, I know that MJF's a television star, but I saw that too. That's why we put him on television. So I produced him on the Arizona show. And I also booked him on my a birthday party show that I had in 2000.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he wrestled on both programs. He defended his CZW championship. He wrestled in the Arizona show, a local guy named Watson, very talented. And then he wrestled Ring of Honor's Bateman on my birthday show.
That's incredible. So, I mean, like, what all goes into the process of something like that? Like, how far would the production aspect that you were involved in do? Because I know in stuff like that, it's like sometimes you have your hands in every single thing on any given week.
Oh, dude, with Arizona, we were very bare bones, very bare bones budget as well as bare bones. You know, so we had a smaller crew. You could throw money at everything and you could get the solution done. We didn't have that. So we had to be very DIY and practical, and we pulled it out of our ass sometimes to get to the show that we're selling the Nile Theater out and turning people away. People tuning into the show every week. People still come up to me and talk about Arizona when I'm not just in Arizona. They talk about my feud with Tim Storm. They talk about they wish that they saw the finale to me fighting R3, who's a local Arizona guy. So it's like, shit, thank you for watching. People brought up the MJF Watson match just because he pulled some bullshit to keep the belt. It's like, you know, the show came in, was around for a very short time, but it became the number one thing in Arizona for wrestling right away. So I kept calling myself the number one wrestler from Arizona that's not from Arizona, you know.
I love Tim Storm. I
Tim's great.
Around, I think it was after his NWA world title run, because admittedly before that the only reason I knew Tim Storm is because I would Google who the NWA world champion was, and then he would pop up. And when Billy Corgan bought it, I was like, well, what the hell are they gonna do with this? And then you met and saw Tim Storm. I did this interview with him. Yeah. And he's just this genuine, captivating guy. He is the everyman that looks like a Superman. Like, he's such a unique thing. And he's like, no, I just love wrestling. And he was the only guy that wasn't carnying the NWA. He was the only guy that showed he was genuine. And and y'all are having a kiss my foot match.
As much as I hate his disgusting feet, he is a genuine man and he is a great man. I just did NWA recently, so it was great to see him again. And he got to do commentary with Joe Galli, who is also an Arizona legend, commentary on Arizona shows. So it was nice to kind of be back amongst the crew that helped establish Arizona, you know. It was good.
So who reaches out to you these days to get you on NWA? I know there's Pat Kenny doing a lot of stuff like that, but who's the person that reaches out, especially considering you do still have an affiliation with AEW?
Mm-hmm. I have a personal relationship with Billy Corgan. Okay. I also have a personal relationship with Billy Trask, the director of the broadcast. He's a former roommate of mine. And he's very, very talented pro wrestling director. He directed he did a lot of the championship wrestling shows and the Arizona shows. And he's very, very, very talented director. And then Joe Galli, Pat Kenny. So,
yeah, I was always interested about that. And I know you work in New Japan. I just always assume the answer to that is Rocky Romero.
Rocky Romero has been my point of contact when it comes to New Japan. Yeah, so it's exciting, though. I'm kicking ass over there, man. I'm undefeated, 2-0, Big P.
How has that been, doing New Japan stuff? Because I love what New Japan Strong is doing. Like, I think that is just – it's such a wonderful wrestling product that has, like, they'll have their young guys, then they'll have established guys. Then out of nowhere, they'll have guys like you pop up from other companies that we've seen all over TV. It's a fantastic format.
I love it. I feel I'm getting an opportunity to showcase stuff I don't really get to showcase that I can do, especially with American television style pro wrestling that I'm so fond of. But with the more fight and combat, I get to, step it up a level, I feel, when it comes to aggression and things.
So another time I'd seen you pop up on TV before AEW was against the Bludgeon Brothers.
Brother.
So
I'm the boys.
that is an ass whooping experience, but I mean, you're in there, and especially given unfortunate passing of Brody Lee, probably something you hold close to your heart, I would imagine.
That man is another genuine man. Everyone's heard the stories, the personal stories. So I don't have as much of a personal relationship with him, unfortunately. But from my short time knowing him and getting to interact with him, he's a beautiful man. The time at WWE, he made me feel very comfortable, especially because at the time, it's not a comfortable place to be backstage, especially as an extra, man, you know. And I was an extra in Phoenix at the time, and I had a tryout producer match in front of the producers before the show. And then they threw me and another California guy, Fidel Bravo, in there to get beat up by the Hammer Boys. And when we were in gorilla position, of course, me and Fidel are like nervous. We're talking to each other. We put together this match with them. And then just as we're warming up and stretching and doing our thing, Rhodey is just very talkative. You know, he's looking us in the face, in the eyes, and smiling and being very nice. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but when no one's fucking looking at you all day, for somebody to look at you in the eyes and smile and talk to you, it means a fucking lot, you know? And like I think he might have known that we had mutual friends from the independents and have worked a lot of the same things over just, you know, different times. And we just had a good conversation. And what we bonded over was our fandom of Kane, you know, that we enjoyed Kane. I complimented his gear and I said it reminded me of Kane, and he said that's what I was going for when I asked for it. I love Kane. And I was like, bro. And we just started talking about Kane.
I've tried to get Gallows to book on one of his Talking Shop of Manias. Since they don't have they can't be Kane, he was the fake Kane. So what he should have is somebody be the fake Kane and face him.
Yes, double fake. But I like that.
The one time I spoke to Brody Lee, it was because I was working on a story about him being upset that someone else wasn't taken care of in the ring. And he kind of knew that was going to get out, but he let me know the story. He's like, well, I'd appreciate it if it didn't. And then before we got off the phone, he's like, by the way, I got a big scoop for you. And I'm like, oh yeah? Then he hung up, which is probably one of my favorite experiences of all time. But like,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'm always so interested in how people end up in those extra spots, in like working a match with the Bludgeon Brothers. Who did you get in contact with, or vice versa, to even come in?
Man, shit, I don't remember. I want to say, I think I just got booked as a regular extra, and then because they saw that I was there, they gave me the match in front of the producers. Adam Pearce is one of the producers, so I knew people. Going in, I knew a lot of the wrestlers there at the time, which are a lot of my coworkers now, funny enough. And then, so it was just they knew I was there, so they gave me a match with a wrestler that I had been booking on the Arizona show in front of producers, and it went well. It went well that they pulled me over to the side to talk to people, and they were telling me about considering me for 205. They had positions, spots available for 205, things like that. So,
yeah, I had actually heard that. I had heard that that there were multiple people in the company that were pushing for you to be on 205. Why did you not end up doing that? Like, was it just a personal choice? Did you look at because I don't have a frame of reference of the time. Like, maybe the AEW thing was happening. Why did you end up passing on that?
Well, I go to a lot of people for advice. You know what I mean? I have my people there that I've been with for a while, you know, United Wrestling and everything. And then I talk to Adam Pearce a lot about my career trajectory and what I should do, and different people, different places, just to kind of see, you know, what I should do. And it's the timing of everything was AEW was coming around. And that within, you know, just the months happening and talks happening with everybody, just the Cody reached out and told me to keep May available if I can. And then as just I got more and more information as it came out, I was eventually offered an opportunity with AEW that just overlapped with the timing of it. And after conversations with certain people, like the ones, my people that I previously just, you know, just talking about, telling me to bet on myself, you know, I went with the, what was presented to me in front of me was the AEW contract. And I took that. So I bet on myself and wanted to be joined with AEW because they had an idea. They had a vision, and it wasn't just like, let's keep talking. It was like, here's something. And I had the EVPs telling me to keep time open. And then, you know, eventually I'm being pitched a character and then here I am.
So one of those early AEW ideas was the feud with Brandon Cutler, which I was so entertained. That kept me tuning in to that program every week.
That's great that you say that. Wonderful that you say that. I didn't mean to cut you off, you know, the feud with Cutler was completely just written on the fly because we were just two guys that had nothing to do and we weren't doing anything. And it was just something happening during the pandemic, you know.
And that's one of those things, like when I look at, you know, people online always say, oh, well, this person is booked this way and they always lose. And I'm like, well, I watch these two guys lose all the time. And they made it a story. They did that while making other people look good, making themselves entertaining, playing off of one another. Because it's always easier to play off of somebody else as well.
Totally.
It's fun. I mean, I was invested in that. I was invested in seeing who was going to lose first, who was going to win first. I thought the face-off with Tony Khan there was brilliant. Like, what all do you all have to go through to even get, like, Tony involved in that? He is a busy guy, but, I mean, he had to see the magic that was involved there as well.
I'm hoping that he did. Like I said, everything up until that point was just complete. The loser versus loser thing was completely done on the fly. There was no writing for it. It was legit just done per show. We discussed it. We made things just kind of happen. I'm not sure where the history of the pandemic started. What I think like a
March 2020 is when the shows got canceled. Yeah.
And October 2019 is when the show, I think, hit TV. So we were only on for a few months, you know. The librarian was doing some TV and then immediately pulled from TV and put on Too Dark occasionally. And then with no direction, the librarian character really never had any direction. So it was just kind of business as usual. I show up to work, no direction. And then the pandemic started. And then most of the California guys aren't on the road. And then we just started kind of building this thing between me and Brandon on BTE because we were, like you said, just both the losers record. And that was just suggested and kind of written by the Bucks. Bucks and Brandon and me all together talking, but mostly them.
So who's the, I assume, is it maybe the Bucks that went to Tony and said, hey, can you do this face-off for this?
So that, I asked Tony to do that because we were in the Jacksonville hotel. And everyone was downstairs, mingling, doing the brothering thing, you know, talking, chatting, and doing that. And me and Brandon we had this idea, like, hey, let's do a press conference.
Yes.
So that, I don't remember whose idea it was. I was just going to say it was a collective idea of Brandon and I. Let's do this press conference and make this like it's a big fight feel because of how silly it is, the two losers. And then Tony was there. I asked him and he said yes. So it was all impromptu on the spot. We just all happened to run into each other and made it work. And it's awesome. I think that's one of Tony. I think that's Tony's still Tony's only thing he did on BTE.
Might be. Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. He had a lot of fun. He was all smiles and everything. Like when the camera wasn't rolling and after watching it back too, man, I forgot how animated his face was, and it was good stuff. It was good stuff. He was hilarious. Really,
I rewatched
really
it this week, and it was so much fun. I'm always interested to hear how groups come together too. And the Wingmen has also been a very fun group. I mean, with like, I never thought I was going to see Ryan Nemeth back in wrestling again. Like, who expected that? And that guy is supremely talented as well. And that's been highlighted. How is this group, like, pieced together? Who comes up with the idea of putting you all together?
Like I said, show up to work with nothing, and then stuff happens. It just kind of happens because people see us, put us together. So when Cody was with us, Cody's a reason why I have a lot of the Pretty Peter stuff. It was the Bucks' idea to switch me back to Pretty Peter from the librarian, and then I started wanting to try to do it as like the Continental, and I started doing those skits with a couple of the production people that we had, which were a lot of fun. And then we just kind of, the character just kind of stopped. There was really nothing else, no one behind it to kind of help assist me getting it forward. And then Cody tried to help make it something. He started adding different tweaks on it, and he ultimately suggested the pageant, and we did me versus Lee Johnson with the walk off, and everything was all done on Dark. So it's nice that I kind of found a nice spot with little angles on Dark. I love being the king of Dark. I think I'm one of the only guys that's had multiple angles on the show. So that's great. I love it. So now we're getting this week by week thing where it's me and Lee Johnson. By the way, we've still never had our one-on-one blow off.
Unfortunate injury to Lee.
Yeah.
I hate that happened.
Yeah. But then that's where they put Cesar and I together, you know, and just Cody and me working together to kind of make this a week by week thing where I'm on commentary, admiring people's looks and signing my autograph to give to people in an 8x10 and everything. And just having this joint thing, you know, this brainstorm be done to create something for the character Peter Avalon was a lot of fun. And it led to week by week stuff. And it ultimately joined me up with Cesar Bononi. We became a tag team, which was a lot of fun. We got to debut as a kind of a tag team at, I think it was Revolution, in their tag gauntlet thing. And so it was fun to kind of be an official team. We had a graphic made for the pay-per-view, and then I blew out my ACL. And I think I was at some of my peak physical. I was like a buck 80. I was looking, I felt strong. I don't look like Cesar, but next to him, I felt real good and real big. And I loved the dynamic that we had of just we're kind of twins, you know? And then I blew out my knee, and then I just got taken off the road. And ultimately the Wingmen was the act at the time was they were trying something with JD and Nemeth where they were kind of like odd couple. And then I think they put Cesar with them. And I think that might've been an idea of Christian to put us all together as the Wingmen. And then when I saw that they were all kind of together, I assumed that I was still with Cesar. So I'm dealing with my knee injury the best I can. And I start flying myself out to the tapings because they're not booking me. So I just bring myself out to be amongst the show. And then they start booking me because I'm there. And then ultimately now the Wingmen is a foursome. And I'm performing as a manager for them pretty much with a bad knee.
Which is something you're very good at.
thank you. That was a lot of fun. But it was a bummer that I wasn't able to really get the thing with me and Cesar going because I hurt myself. But it was nice to be able to be a part of something still as I was healing. And then I want, you know, thankfully Tony and AEW took care of my knee. And I was able to come back and join the rest of the Wingmen, and now we have the foursome.
So, I mean, we have seen you pop up on New Japan, NWA, so that would lead me to believe you're under a different structured AEW deal than some others. Like,
correct.
How long is your deal? I mean, feel free to tell me to go play in traffic. I know that can be private information, but
right.
I'm always, I got to ask.
Well, it's contract season's coming up. For Big Pete,
okay.
I guess, you know what I mean? And me and my people, I've been talking to different people, you know, honestly, making different phone calls to me. It is what it is. And just, I'm playing for a real contract, you know?
Okay, nice. So I mean, if that were offered by AEW, even if they were to be like, hey, let's get you back on like a full-time deal, is that something you'd be interested in?
Of course. I'm an AEW original, Dynamite since day one. I want to be an AEW legend. I want to die an AEW legend. Of course. You know, I am a loyal guy. And honestly, I'm loyal to a fault, honestly. And I see it a lot of time in just decisions made in my career. It is what it is. But I'm an AEW original, Dynamite since day one.
I love that. Yeah. Were you paid a flat fee or are you getting residuals from Car Shield?
Oh, see, I was fucking flat fee. I'm not SAG. I'm not any of that stuff. But it was fun to play with Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Chopping me and shit.
Like, I mean, that was the thing. Like, you'd pop up on WWE TV on commercials, and the original Forbidden Door right there.
That's it. I am the OG Forbidden Door, man. Like, I was popping up on commercials, and people are popping for this stuff. And it's like, yeah, here I am, you know.
They at least, no, they didn't give you free coverage, anything?
Brother, let me tell you. Car Shield, thanks for taking care of United Wrestling Network, though. I appreciate it. They take care of me in other ways.
That's true. Okay, that's very true, because I would see that on UWN stuff all the time. So, I mean, that's because Marquez was popping up on there. Marquez got a payday for it too. Like,
hey brother, let's not talk about that.
Come on now.
It was good. No, Marquez got a payday. LA Knight got a payday. Ric Flair obviously.
Yeah, LA Knight did get one. Yeah.
A couple of the other Hollywood guys got a payday, you know, Dan Joseph.
Have you done any other commercial work? Because I mean, it seems like right up your alley as well.
I had a commercial agent. I've done some stuff. I just actually did a TV show, and that's really as much as I could say about it because of like the NDA I signed. I just did some stunt work on a TV show. And then the film that I did actually at Diamante's in too, Pact of Vengeance, is getting it's getting wider distribution too. So it should end up on a lot more streaming platforms pretty soon. It's a low budget film, but man, he kills it. This dude, Led Kavazinski, man, he's a karate dude, and he's dope. His films, they're low budget, but he does a lot of cool. It's like total B movie stuff, and he does it well. It's well. So this was his biggest budget so far, and he kills it.
Yeah, because like when I saw you in that commercial, I'm like, well, of course. Like if you're gonna have one or two guys, it's gonna be like LA Knight and Peter Avalon. Like that's just I think it fit really really well there. But so I mean, is that something you'd like to branch out into as well?
Of course, man. I'm currently going to the Groundlings and taking the improv course there. I auditioned to take the improv course, and they passed me, of course, and I'm taking the beginner's course right now, which I'm probably going to have to retake because I keep missing the class because I keep getting booked. I got booked in Germany and New York and all these different places with AEW. Not complaining, of course. But,
it's a good problem to have.
It is what it is. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. So I'm staying busy with stuff that's outside of wrestling. I'm obviously staying busy with stuff that's within wrestling. Yeah, man, but it's like I'm playing for a contract. I'm playing for a contract. It's contract season, and it is what it is, man.
Well, I'm excited. Hopefully that happens soon. Love talking to you for the first time. I'm going to save some stuff for the next time, though, as all well. Right. But I want to thank you so much for taking the time. Tell the people where they can follow you on social media.
Instagram.com/PPA all day, or twitter.com/Pavalon. So, and peteravalon.com, which leads to all that stuff. So
the true PP of wrestling.
That's it. PPA.
There you go. Get Peter Perfect the hell out of here. It's Peter Avalon all day. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.